Now, Ben Soley also plays the cello and he sings at the same time. He comes from Kentucky. He plays a range of music and he did it for us when he was on the music show in March.
I guess I never told you how the globe burned down. Oh, but it ain't no secret, just ask around. Some heartsick man, fed up with his fate, torched it to the ground in a desperate state. He grown tired of the tragedies, tired of the death, tired of watching Romeo take one last breath for something as crazy as love, love, love. Uh-huh. Ooh, uh-huh. They gave him all the books but never taught him to read. So when she first kissed him, I heard him beg and plead. He saw the storm on the water, he felt every swell. He was on top of the mountain in the belly of a whale. Cause some days it's a fountain or an artesian well. Sometimes it's a bag of bricks or some kind of spell. There's nothing as wild as love, love, love. Uh-huh. Ooh, uh-huh. Much for religion, but he learned to pray. For occasions when the wine led his mind astray, he built a chapel for his conscience, a shack for his regrets, sent his eye to an island. Still he could not forget the sound of a touch, the color of a song, a jumble of words where a space belongs for something as simple as love. Love, love, uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah, ooh, yeah, ooh,
today's music show. That was a song called The Globe. It's by Ben Soley, who was singing it for us there, and he was also playing the cello. Ben, thank you very much indeed.
Oh, thanks for having me, Andrew.
Let's begin. Well, look, let's wind back, shall we, to the moment you first picked up a cello. I think I'm probably right in saying that nobody starts cello lessons in order to do what you've just been doing.
That would be a correct statement. I picked up the cello in public schools, and when the teacher played it for us, she wasn't a very skilled cellist, so she made lots of very scratchy noises, which of course attracted me to the instrument, which was kind of a fake-out because it turns out that the only music you can really study on the cello at a professional level is classical music, and that's the music that I've most studied in order to get technique for the cello. So I would go to school, and I would study all the classics, you know. But then I'd go home to my very musical family, my dad who played guitar, and my mom who sang, and my grandfather who was an Appalachian fiddler. And we would sit around and play social music. I would be like, well, I know this song, you know, this classical song. And my dad would be like, well, I don't really know how to play that. And so he would teach me R&B tunes. You you know, and then I'd go back to school and study these classics. And my grandfather would teach me, he said, even though it was a long-haired instrument, the cello, that he could teach me fiddle tunes on it, you know? And this went on, and that was my education, really, was those two lives.
Yes, and did they still coexist? I mean, I know you played a bit of Bach and a bit of Brahms for us there, but do they still, do you still seriously play them?
Seriously play classical music? I spend more time composing music that involves classical music. Every once in a while, I'll do a classical piece for like a dance company or something. The last one I did was Bach's Sixth Suite, the Prelude. But no more now. More and more days, I spend more my time as a cellist, singer, songwriter, and also composing.
Yes, yeah. Well, you mentioned the fact that your grandfather was a fiddler, and Kentucky, where you come from, is in the Appalachian Mountains. So that tradition presumably was there for the grabbing, was it?
It was certainly there for the grabbing. In fact, I wasn't aware enough of the tradition and of how, intimate and limited it was at the time to really focus on learning tunes from my grandfather. He was just there, and I played some tunes with him. And when he passed on, I really realized, oh, I should have focused on that, of course. But that's the nature of being young and not knowing.
Yes. Well, there are recordings, aren't there? And there are things written down, but it's always nice to get songs that are in a folk tradition from the horse's mouth.
Well, and he had a particular way of playing the fiddle, which was attributed mainly to his squashed second finger. As a child, he had squashed his finger, I guess, underneath a rocking chair that his mom was rocking on. So it was kind of missing, and it had a kind of a gnarly nail off of it. And so everybody knew it was Elvis, that was my grandfather's name, playing when they heard that kind of gnarly fiddle playing.
Well, maybe it's just as well you didn't emulate that. Is it reasonably easy to play fiddle tunes on a cello? I mean, is it just like a big fiddle from that point of view?
Yes and no. Of course, it is like a fiddle in the fact that you're in open fifth tunings in a lot of ways, unless you're cross-tuning in some way. So a lot of the tunes do move across the strings in a similar way. But the cello is a bigger expanse, so you find yourself shifting around a little bit more. Maybe you can't be quite as flashy as a violinist, as a fiddle player.
No, and you can't sort of jig while you do it either.
Jig? What do you mean by jig?
Well, sort of dance.
Oh, of course you can. Of course you can. You can certainly stand with the cello. I actually have a little processional peg on my instrument on the front, so I can stand and play.
Oh, right. Okay. Presumably, it's that much easier to sing, however, with the cello, or is it? I mean, you're doing quite a lot of work there, aren't you? A lot of physical labor involved in bowing a cello. Does that mean that you have to take that into account when you're writing for yourself?
Maybe to an extent. I don't conceptually think about that. Yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into playing a cello. I mean, you're moving your body in two different directions, and then adding singing on top of that, especially some type of independent line, not just what you're playing, does take some time to learn. But just like many things, it's just muscle memory and kind of freeing your body of that.
On your albums, of course, it's not just you. But now that I've heard just you, I'm not sure I don't prefer it. Perhaps you could show us some of the techniques that you used just then, in fact, in the Globe, because there were times when I always remember a lovely quote about Keith Richards. The first time he heard a recording of Robert Johnston, he wanted to know who the other guitarist was. And there were times when it sounded as though there was more than one cello there. How are you creating those sounds?
Well, there's a couple different things at work. The first thing that is less common in the cello world is I'm playing chords on the cello. So just fingering across the strings to play multiple strings at once. I'm also playing, you know, almost like a stroke style, you know, all down guitar beat, you know. Which which of course I've stolen from rock music. And then there's also a technique called the chop that is kind of been getting passed around in contemporary string playing. And it's a sound where you don't really slam the bow against the strings, but you kind of lock it against the strings. And it sounds like this. And there's different lengths of chops. There's different rhythms of chops. But really, once you incorporate that into something that has bassy chords and stuff like that, it starts feeling a little bit like a drum kit.
Mm. Just a second. Let's not leave the chop. How are you doing that? Because I should explain to the listeners, we're not in the same state even, let alone the same studio. So was the bow moving horizontally or vertically?
Imagine a scrape along the strings moving from the fingerboard, the black part on the cello, down towards the bridge, and it moves a little bit downwards and then into the string. So as if you were going from standing in front of the cello and shooting an arrow into the belly of the cello.
Right.
That's the best way I can describe it through a radio eyes.
And it sounds a bit like an arrow as well. Sorry. Yeah. Fantastic. Go on.
So once you incorporate that into a beat or some type of pattern, you know, you get something like what I was playing there. Slower. So it's not unlike a mandolin chop or, you know, rhythm guitar players chops in R&B music or anything like that. Or just kick and snare, you know. You could just... So that's one technique that I was kind of throwing around a bunch in that music. And then there was just kind of fiddling type lines where you're doing cross string where... You know, and that kind of stuff is the stuff I picked up from doing some Scottish fiddling work and different camp works and things like that. I'm a real mutt, you might notice.
But that's okay. You're listening to The Music Show on RN, and I'm speaking to Ben Soley, who's a real mutt and is in Australia with his cello, doing the rounds of some of the music festivals. He was at the Brunswick Music Festival in Melbourne last night. A lot of the songs that you sing are... traditional sounding in that they are also political songs, and a good deal of the song making from that part of the United States was to do with things like mining, for instance. That preoccupies you too.
It does in the way that I feel like part of my heritage comes from the Appalachian Mountains, and that commingling of musical styles and cultures that happen in the mountains. It naturally happens when you have hills and valleys, because there's places where people cross those hills and incubate with each other in the I guess you could interpret that word incubate in all sorts of ways. Anyhow, they mix together in the valleys and create new musical styles. A lot of the social issues that I bring in are have to do with the things that are important to me personally, and they just happen to come out in my songs. I really don't try to write politically oriented songs or even protest songs, if there is such a thing. I really try to write songs that about things that I care about personally as a human, and hopefully folks can connect to that in some type of universal way. So a song... I've done a couple things, but mainly I work to raise awareness about a certain practice of strip mining in the mountains called mountaintop removal strip mining. And it's a process of strip mining that removes the summit of the mountains with huge amounts of explosives, sometimes lowering the summit down 1,000 feet to dig out the veins of coal. And they take all the rock and the rubble and the trees, and they push it over into the valleys. Which, of course, the valleys are where we begin all
so you
of
don't,
our...
So you end up with no mountains and no valleys.
You end up with no mountains, and you end up with valleys that are blocked, like where the water that began all of our freshwater streams is no longer collecting, or if it's collecting, it is now polluted with all the heavy metals that were safely beneath the ground. So it's a real conundrum for the environment, but it's also a conundrum for the communities, because they've had... land that has sustained them for generations that now is fallen barren, is getting poisoned, and it makes it really hard. And those are communities that created all the music that, for me as a musician, is so inspirational and part of my story. So that comes out a lot in my music.
Yes, I can see how it might. So you mean to say that after these miners have finished taking out the coal, they don't put it all back together again?
Well, to the extent that they are required to by law, they will do it. But reclaiming a mountain, quotation marks around that word, reclaiming, is not really entirely possible. I mean, it took however many millions and millions of years to get it in such a state.
Yes.
And, of course, that's the problem. We don't know the inherent value in a mountain standing there. What's the value of the air that the trees can create and the water that it can process and the animals it can feed? Like, we don't have a value for that. We only have a value for the coal in the ground, the rocks to be quarried, the trees to be lumbered. You know, we have all these kind of things, extractive values, but we don't have a value for a mountain intact.
Yes. Well, that seems to me to be a good subject for a song. I can see how that would happen. You're going to do one for us called Electrified. Tell us about that, Ben Solly.
Well, it's a true fact that so many things in our lives are becoming more and more electrified. If it's electrified, it is somehow better. Whether it's a spinning electric toothbrush for you, or it is a light in a dark place, these things are improved somehow by electricity. But there's a lot of things at stake when we electrify so much stuff. First of all, providing the electricity, and second of all, you know, tradesmanship and then, you know, the things that people care about. So this song is kind of embodying all things electrified in a very aggressive way.
The trees are electrified. The streets are electrified. Your ears are electrified. My voice is electrified. Your heart is unsteady, they can make it beat in time. Your mind is confused, it will be clarified. If you're old-fashioned, you will be modernized. Everything is electrified. Everything is electrified. If you're lost in the jungle, use the satellites. If you're broke in the city, sneak on the bus line. You lost your job, cause it was mechanized. They said we have to compete when the market's globalized. Everything is electrified. Everything is electrified. Everything is electrified. My bare hands touch the base of your spine. Feel you shudder and close your eyes. Move like a swallow and I'm hypnotized. Everything is electrified. Everything is electrified. Some folks are heroes, others may be vilified. Assess your losses, learn to diversify. Find your higher calling and evangelize. Build your congregation, now you're televised. Everything is electrified. Everything is electrified. Everything is electrified. Everything is electrified.
That's Ben Soley and his song Electrified. And Ben Soley is back in Australia at the moment. You can find him at the Woodford Folk Festival this weekend, and you can find the dates of the other performances if you go to the Music Show's website. And he's got a new CD out. It's called Half Made Man. Music Show was produced by Maureen Cooney, and Penny Lomax, technical production from Jenny Parsonage.